welcome to the next edition, episode number 2 of Backstage Pass with Gettysburg Jerry. My name is Gettysburg Jerry, and yes, I am your host. This is a, we're going to be coming at you every other week. We've changed the time from 6:30 to 7 after this show. So we'll be coming at you for 45 minutes because we learned last week that 30 minutes wasn't quite enough. So we will be doing 45-minute shows. And that's going to be every other week on Tuesdays. So we look forward to hearing from everybody. And we have a full lineup. We are booked almost throughout the rest of the year. So I'm pretty excited about what's coming. Before we get started, I want to thank Glasswork Media Arts for sponsoring the show. They do a lot of video work and a lot of business stuff, promo stuff. So if you need any video work or picture work, by all means, call Glasswork Media Arts. And you can catch us at, on our Facebook page. I'd also like to thank Deaf Rhino. They allow me to use their music at the intro and the end of each show, and I'm really appreciative of that. I think it's wonderful that they are freely letting me use their music, and I think that's great. And by the way, they are going to be playing at Gettysburg Rocks coming up August 7th, 8th, and 9th, I believe it is. So check GettysburgRocks.com for when they will be around, and make sure you check them out and let them know you heard their music on my show. You can also find Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, so you can find them there as well. I also want to thank Matt Crowner. He's helped me get, we're almost there. I mean, every week I say this. We are so close to having our AdamsCountyLiveMusic.com up and running, and it will be a site that you can go to where you can find out who's playing where, at what time, all throughout Adams County, and it will also include Franklin County, because they have been wonderful in helping support me in getting Adams County Live Music up and running. Those are the folks from FranklinCountyLiveMusic.com. So you'll be able to find music anywhere from Hagerstown down to York with those two sites. And there'll also be a spot for you to click on and listen to some of these shows. Any of the shows that you missed, you can listen to them in archives. So I'm really looking forward to that. So a little background. Backstage Pass is a resurrection of a show I did a few years back. It was very popular. The show was very popular, and it focused locally on the local Adams County music scene, which for those that don't live here would be surprised to know that Adams County and the Gettysburg area has a huge live local music scene. It's been around for a long time. And it's really starting to blossom now. So it's really cool. And I love being a part of the whole thing and being able to capture some of the shows and get to know some of the bands. And just, you know, it's just really great. Because local live music is, in my mind, that's where it's at. I mean, I think it's great. So this show is going to be kind of an extended version of that show. I'll be highlighting artists from up and down the East Coast. Over the past few years, I've done a lot of recording work with a lot of bands from Maine down to Florida, out to Ohio. So I've made some really fun connections, and we're going to have some really good times with some bands from not only the Adams County area, but all over the East Coast. So I'm really looking forward to that. And the show is going to be based focusing on those hardworking, let's say, the hardworking touring bands, not the ones that are staying in the five-star hotels, but those bands that are touring and staying in the KOA campground and when they're lucky and getting a hot shower when they can and where and putting in meal allowances in the gigs because it's tough. And those are the bands that I really respect because I know how hard it is. Most of them have other jobs and they have to fit this kind of stuff in. So I think that's really, really, you know, deserving of our support as the listening audience. I think it's important. And then lastly, tonight about 6:30, we're going to have 10 minutes where anybody with questions that's listening might want to call in. And that number, I will say it again later, but that number is 516-418-5925. That's 516-418-5925. And if you want to call in and ask the band a question later on, that's fine. Feel free to do that. All right, so I guess without any further ado, let's go ahead and bring the guys on. One more. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. All right, so I got 3 out of 4 here. I know that I have Thomas, Klaus, and Hello. Dave.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
All right.
Yep, that's us.
Yeah, so we're missing John. That's okay. He's the drummer, right?
he's an important drummer. He'll probably call in. I can't imagine he'll miss it.
Well, like I told you in the green room before the show, there is no just a bass player, right? Everybody has their place.
Exactly.
Sorry about that. That's I'm always apologizing.
So
yeah.
One of the things that, okay, let me jump right in, because one of the things that I want to know from you guys is, and I want to get some background about, you know, the history of the band and how you got started and how you met and all that. But one of the things that I've always found interesting is the name of the band, Pale Barn Goat. Can you tell us how that came about? It's a very interesting name. What's the story behind it?
It's actually like three references of like influence, like barn being a rural reference, like a, you know, kind of the area we live in, and ghost being the kind of supernatural kind of aspect of the group, in contrast to the folk side of it. And as far as like a lot of that's related to Klaus's guitar playing, and then the pale is I feel like it's not music for nocturnal people, you know. It's not a it's for people who like the nighttime.
Yeah.
I guess
lots of musicians and people who like music do, right?
Yeah.
Actually,
and
I think that's a really interesting point that you brought up, because I'm going to be asking Klaus to talk about some of his influence and stuff because of his unique lead style, and the way that you just said that really made a lot of sense to me in the ghost reference. That really resonated with me, and it makes a little bit more sense now, because Klaus have this very unique style that kind of sneaks up on you and is kind of hanging at the background. I love it, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But the other thing that I think is important is, let's talk about how long have you guys been together, and how did you all come together? I mean, I'm sure that you guys, the four of you, did just sit down one day and say, hey, we're going to start a band. I mean, give us the story on how long you've been together, you know, what was the goal, what was the dynamic, and how did you all get to where you are now?
Klaus, you want to answer that one?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I had actually met Thomas in high school. He's a couple of years ahead of me, and we had the same friends. We would get together and skateboard, and then one day I guess we started talking about music, and we realized we both were trying to learn how to play the guitar. So we ended up sharing rides to the same place that we took guitar lessons. His lessons would be right before mine, and then he would hang out, and I would have my guitar lessons. So we took guitar lessons at the same place, and we actually didn't start playing in a band together, though, until I think years later, because just the way it worked, you know, I was in a band and he was in his own band. So I guess not to jump too far ahead, but then 2005, I mean the guitar lessons, everything was probably 1993, you know, and then fast forward to 2005, Thomas, I think that was maybe when you approached me about writing some guitar.
Yeah,
you know,
I had
your songs.
Yeah, I had a like third solo CD I was working on, and I decided that I wanted to add some other stuff to it, because I usually just did records of voice and acoustic, because that's what I did playing out. And we were hanging out at Klaus's one night with another original member. Sean Grove was our first bass player, and Klaus and Sean have been playing together for years. And so they both wrote parts like really quickly, and it seemed to fit really well, like, you know. But it took us a while, I think, to get to, you know, to kind of find our space together as far as playing out and stuff. I feel like maybe the past 3 years since we got John in the band, I feel is when we've really kind of there's kind of more of a cohesiveness. And but I mean, it might be all that time playing together too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when did you guys? Now, how long have you been together?
Since like 05, 06, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it was a trio. It was a trio at first. There was no drummer. It was just a bass, electric guitar, and acoustic. And we did that for a while. And then, like, I think in 07, 08, we added a drummer and did an EP. And then that drummer, he was kind of overextended with responsibility. So we got John about 3 or 4 years ago, and that's kind of when I think we were able to kind of pull off, you know, what we had envisioned in the first place. So,
That kind of brings me to my next couple of questions for you guys. You guys have a very unique sound that's all yours. Like, I know if I'm at a party and someone throws your CD in, I know exactly, even if I didn't know the song, I would know pretty sure that it's you guys. You have a very unique sound, which takes a really... it takes a lot of work. I don't think people realize what it takes to get to that point. And sometimes it works, having been in bands in the past. Sometimes that just happens. It just occurs over time. And sometimes it's something that is consciously worked at. Did you guys have a sound that you wanted in mind, or did it just come together?
I think it just kind of came together. You know, Klaus and I kind of growing up in the same musical time of, like, what we listen to, I think we have a really similar sense of how to put things together and, you know, how long parts should be and where stuff fits. And it's cool because he, I write the stuff to stand on its own solo acoustic. And then, you know, Klaus kind of adds that the feeling of the song for me. He kind of takes the feeling and makes it a tangible part, so it never steps on, you know, the foundation of you know, whatever I'm playing. It always just kind of, you know, pushes it into the it just makes everything, you know, pop a little more.
Sure.
And you know,
so did you have a moment where you were playing a gig or practicing where you all looked at each other and said, holy crap, that's it there?
Yeah, I mean, that's been, you know, the last couple of years of live shows, I think that's really been happening a lot, where I just kind of look over and I'm like, wow.
You know,
when you can change the atmosphere of a room, you know, like when you're setting up and people are talking and the bar is loud and then you start playing and you see a change happen with people who are interacting with the music, like that's been happening more lately than, you know, out of the years of kind of getting it down. So
what, tell us about you're talking about how, you know, how you worked together for years and you add in the unique sound qualities, and what's the writing process like for you? Is there one writer, as you were mentioning, Thomas, you kind of bring a song in and the guys put their stuff to it and give it the pop and all the other pieces that fall into place. Is that kind of how you guys work? How do you guys explain that? Walk us through that.
Yeah, we, you know, one thing is that I kind of bring the songs finished, as far as the lyrics and the basic arrangement. And then everybody gets a recording of that and writes their part. And it's kind of amazing that it works, because I mean, we don't get to do a lot of, you know, free-forming, you know, of writing stuff at practice. But it's really cool. You know, Klaus is always able to hear exactly what I'm doing. And so when we play a song in practice, it's like we've already played it 10 times, because everybody's listened to it. And, you know, then we really work out stuff with Dave and John, because that's where, you know, that's the you know, as a songwriter, you have these rhythms in your head that you can't necessarily, if you're not a drummer, it's hard to speak their language. And so we do have to knock that out a little bit. But John is very conscientious of lyrics and not playing too much and playing at a great dynamic. And, And Dave's the same way. Like Dave's never been. He's tucked back and loud when we need him to be, and quiet when. We have a pretty.
Are you guys
really
having
a great rhythm section? Because they're very, you know, respectful. You know?
I've recorded you guys and filmed you guys enough, and you know, when I'm doing a video, I listen to it over and over. You know, I'm working with it over and over again, and I. You guys have it down. You're definitely the right group of guys doing the right thing. You're in the right place at the right time, so have no fear about that. And one of the things that I do love that I've been noticing lately, it's funny when you're editing video and you see things over and over and over and over again. I have to say that John, 9 times out of 10, has the biggest smile on his face when he's playing. It's so refreshing. I've been noticing it more and more now that I've caught notice of it. I look for it now, and he's always just so happy to be up there. It's just awesome. It makes, as a listener, it feel good. You know what I mean? When
yeah.
musicians are happy, that like you said, it changes the atmosphere of the room. So I know that go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I know that, Thomas, you do a lot of your writing around local things. Can you talk a little bit about how you approach that?
I think that just kind of happens. I drive, I'm in the car a lot, and you know, when I'm writing a lyric and I'm picturing a landscape, like it's usually, you know, the landscapes that I'm familiar with. So it just seems, you know, and it's cool when you listen to bands, and like, let's say you used to live in Minneapolis and you hear a band, you know, mention Hennepin Avenue or something, and you're like, oh yeah, like, you know,
yeah.
It makes you feel like you belong to something, or you know what they're talking about. So I feel like, you know, if it happens to come up in a lyric, like, you know, if my visual, you know, that matches like the picture in my head, if it's a local thing, I'll just try to, you know, sketch it out in lyrics to make it, you know, a picture to the listener, I guess.
And a little extra connection to the song. I totally get what you're saying. Well, let's go ahead. I want to play a cut, one of my favorite songs that you guys do, off of your CD, So Pale, Harvester, which is one of my favorite songs that you do. And actually, I've been out taking pictures of the particular tractor that you're talking about, which to me is... I live here, and I still find that thrilling that I, you know, that there's a connection there. I think that's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and give a listen to Harvester. This is Paleborn Ghosts off of So Pale, and the song is Harvester.
Stranded in the field, and so
That was Pal Barn Ghosts with Harvester, one of my all-time favorite songs that you guys do. You got to give us some background on that.
The song, it's originally started writing it about a. I was thinking about how, like, with guitars, like, old age is like a good thing. Like, people covet, you know, vintage instruments or vintage cars, but it's not the same way with people. You know, we tend to discredit the older people and we don't give them, you know, covet them like we do old instruments or old antiques.
Yeah.
You know, so I just was kind of thinking about that a lot.
That's interesting. And one of the things about that song, too, is there are two songs that stand out to me a lot that kind of, not highlights, but kind of speaks to Klaus's guitar style. That song and also your new song, Love is a Whisper, really stands out to me as two examples of a very unique lead style. And I have to ask, who were some of the influencers, to your style? How did you build that?
I can start when I was a kid. My dad played the Beach Boys and the Beatles quite often, so I have to give some, maybe a little bit of an influence from them. But then when I was learning how to play guitar, I think the biggest influence I had was Red Hot Chili Peppers, but mainly the guitar player for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the time, who was John Frusciante. So listening to him play guitar at the age of 14 was the most inspiring thing for me. and I knew I wanted to play guitar pretty much the rest of my life. And at that particular time, that was the sound that I was going for, and that's what I wanted to play. But over the years, then I some other bands from the 90s that had, you know, an influence on me, I would say, were Afghan Whigs or Fugazi or The Cure, you know, bands like that. And so I started to, you know, go in other directions, maybe started writing some darker melodies. And but then, you know, at the same time with trying to keep the lighter mood as well. So those were some influences. And I also should add that instrumental music has always been an influence on me. And so when I hear a piece of music, I usually listen to the lyrics, you know, fourth, fifth, you know, listen, I start to pay attention to the lyrics. Usually the music is what I really focus on when I'm writing. So I guess that's basically, you know, some influences I've had over the years.
You have such an unassuming yet awesome presence in the songs that you guys do. I find your style really unique, and I love listening to it. And especially when you guys get to parts where you kind of take things to like a whole other level on a really, I guess for lack of a better term, on a gentle ride. It's like you don't have this huge, like, you know, The Who or but you build that crescendo and everybody has their piece and you do it so well. I think that's why you guys are one of the most popular bands in the area. You know, when you put your music and your lyrics together and your performing style, you guys have really gotten to the, do you realize that you're there? I mean, as far to me, it's like, You guys have done it. You've got your sound. You've got everything. You've got all the pieces in place, and you're just doing what you do. Is that how it feels for you guys?
Depends on the day, really, or the gig. yeah, like sometimes I think we're the, you know, best band ever. And other days I'm like, God, I suck. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, just depends.
So. I know for me, a lot of times when I'm recording, I'll record something and I'll go home and download all the material and I'll look at it and go, well, this just sucks. I don't like any of this. And then 2 or 3 months later, I'll pull it back out and go, what was I thinking? This is great. Do you guys do the same type of thing and go, wait a minute, we thought this was horrible, but now it's really good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm the only one that ever, I don't know, like, you know, I'm picky about, like, when we play out, there's so many variables of, like, you know, the sound setup, and, you know, you can play as, you know, your best in practice, but if, you know, the sound guy doesn't know how to do stuff, then it can totally ruin your day. And I seem to be a lot more affected by all of that than other people. So, you know, just sometimes I think, oh, that was a great show. And, you know, if we have a night where our monitor sound was horrible, I'm like, man, we must have sounded awful. But then, you know, then people tell you, oh, that was the greatest thing I ever saw. And it's so confusing.
Like, So is it fair to say, Thomas, that you are the most critical of looking back at what you're doing? Do you pick it apart more than the other members?
Probably. You know, it's just thing I'm working on, like, personality flaw, I think. But it also helps me get better. I mean, if I just thought everything was great, I probably wouldn't push myself that hard, you know. So
definitely,
like, I think it's a good thing, you know. But you have to, you know, these guys play so well, and like, you know, they, anytime I have negative criticism over how we play, it's usually never related to, you know, the guys playing with me. You know, it's usually just me feeling frustrated about how I did, you know.
Exactly. I know. So. I, there's many times that I've been to, you know, watching bands, going out and watching bands play, and there's many, many times that I'm listening to, you know, most of the crowd is family members and friends, and during the break I can hear the family members and friends telling these people, oh, you guys sound great, when in reality, they're completely out of tune. They sound awful. And to me, I think that's really a danger. You can't, you know, your family and friends are always going to tell you, oh, yeah, you sound great. That's my son. Of course he sounds great. That's not doing the band any good. You got to be honest and say, dude, go tune your guitar.
Yeah.
But that's, I think that, you know, that's just something that everybody kind of goes through. And you guys have been around enough now that, you know, you guys aren't 20-year-olds trying to rock out and be Van Halen. You know what I mean? You guys have been there. And I think that comes across. I mean, one of the things that I notice about you guys as well that I really like is you're all professional. When you pick up your instruments, you're ready to roll. And like you said, you know, everybody has their place, you know, and I watch Dave, and Dave just kind of hangs there and does what he does when he needs to. And it's just it's a really fun, you guys put on a show that I really enjoy seeing. It's a lot of fun, not just hearing the music, but also watching you guys. It's nice to be able to watch professional musicians doing what they do best.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there's another song I want to play, and I hope this works, because this was a challenge getting this. And the song is Old When I Was Young. Now, this isn't available. It's available on Bandcamp. Is that correct?
Yeah. There's a 13-song CD on Bandcamp that's Pay What You Want on there. You can download it for free. We used to have physical copies of it, but we ran out of them. So you can get it. You can get it on there.
So give us some background on this song and what it's about, and you know where your head was at when you were putting this together.
You know, I think this was like I think this is one where I had the line, you know, first couple of verses, like right when I got out of bed in the morning type of thing. And it just all kind of came together pretty quickly. I didn't overthink this one too much, and it doesn't really have much of a premise, but it's basically the feeling of, you know, I was always kind of a worrier, an overthinker when I was, should have been having a good time when I was younger. So it's kind of that kind of feeling, you know.
That I get, but, young,
yeah.
I like that. All right, let's give it a listen. I like that, though. That's great. Let's hope this works.
About as much fun as a vacation on the sun doesn't shine for me. A book with no picture and too many words. And I keep holding on. Hope you know when it's gone. But that train has left the station with my patience and my last true friend. The heart's too many, but they're never quite the same. The chemicals are shifting to the wrong side of my brain. Like the keys in a car with the engine running. Far out in the rain, and I feel no pain in the shape I'm in. And I'm final and cassette, a relic from the past, in the corner of your closet, and you're not one. Till my replacement fails you, silence finds you contemplating and alone. The chemicals are shifting to the wrong side of my brain. Like the keys in the car with the engine running. Guitar out in the rain, and I feel no pain. You're in the ship I'm in.
I Was Young by Pelbourne Ghosts. And you can find that at Bandcamp. Just look up Pelbourne Ghosts and check out their free CD. That's always good. Free is always good. So we're going to continue the conversation a little bit. And if anybody is interested in calling in, sometimes we get people that are. Sometimes people don't. I know we have people listening. I can see that from the board. So the number to call in is 516-418-5925 if you want to ask, kind of put the band members on the spot. That's your call-in number, 516-418-5925. So, guys, what's in store? What's the future hold for Pelbourne Ghosts? What do you guys you got a new CD coming up? You got any kind of big shows coming up? What's the plan?
New CD is just started a couple weeks ago. We did all the rhythm tracks. Got 12. It'll be 12 songs. So hopefully we'll be adding the rest of the stuff in the next month or two. So hopefully for fall we'll have it packaged and ready to go. And we're gonna have a Kickstarter video just to help raise a little bit of money for the recording costs, but nothing. Sure. Nothing over the top. So
where do you record?
A place called After Seven Studios in Mechanicsburg. Guy named Robbie Richardson. He's done Zach Brown, Hailstorm, a ton of different people. Really, really smart guy. Multi-instrumentalist. Engineer extraordinaire, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a lot of work. I feel for those guys. It's one of those painstaking, hyper, you know, 100th of a second has to be right. It's not easy. So I have a lot of respect for the sound guys and for the recording guys, without a doubt. So most of the time when I see you guys, it's at some kind of festival. I mean, most of what I've seen, what do you guys got coming for the bookings for the rest of the summer? Do you have anything coming up? I'm not sure.
We have I think we're at the Winter Circle in Hanover on Friday night.
This Friday.
That's the closest gig. And then September. I think August August 22nd we're playing outside at Hauser Winery on the hill. That's an early show at like 11 a.m. It's out in the orchard on the stage out there.
I know that place.
Yeah, you do. I've seen you there.
Actually, that'll be a good opportunity for me to get some more footage of you guys.
Yeah.
Now, are you playing
games? I've played there a lot. It's weird. We kind of play there a whole lot and then don't play there for a long time. It's kind of, it's always been kind of inconsistent. We play the Gary Owen. It's one of our favorite places. We did a year, once a month at Reed's Winery, the tasting room. We did that last year. But yeah, we need a booking agent to keep us consistent because it's all my fault really, because I book a whole bunch of gigs and think we're covered, and then there's like a 2 month hole or something. So
well, if it's
yeah,
anything,
all my fault.
You pay your sound man that you always mention. The sound guy that you have, he never shows up, but you pay him anyway. I like
never,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Never met him.
Never met him, but we send him a check every month, right?
Yep.
So the last question I guess I have for you guys is, do you see, the Pelbourne Ghost is going to continue and just get better and better and better? I know it's funny when you were mentioning about how everybody gets a record of the song, kind of does their thing gets their part together so that when you all are together in one room, everybody's pretty much ready to go. Years ago, I played in California in a blues band that did very well. So we stayed together because of the money, which was really a stupid reason to stay together because we got to the point where we couldn't stand each other. And we did kind of what you guys do, but for the wrong reasons. We all learned our parts through, back then it was cassette tapes. I'm aging myself. But you guys seem to all get along really well. You seem like you have a really, you know, it comes across when you're on stage that you guys not only like each other, but you respect each other for what you do and for what you bring to the band. Is that, and I'm not trying to pry here and, you know, get any inside gossip. Is that pretty much what we see, what we get type thing?
I don't know. Dave, what do you think?
Oh, okay.
Today's like been hanging out.
Moving forward, my job title changed a little bit, so I'm going to be freed up an extra night of the week, and also all my weekends will be available. So I'm looking forward to just getting my teeth into the music and being more available to play the gigs. So I really enjoy playing with these guys. I have a day job. Anybody that works at Mercersburg is listening to this program, no offense, but you have to have a world outside of what I do. I work in a residential school, and this band is my safety valve. It allows me to break out and stay fresh and all that. But I really enjoy working with all the musicians and the personalities. And I like I said, I pride myself on just being a bass player and kind of sitting in the back and doing what I can to support the music.
Oh, you definitely do. I mean, you're one of the bass players. A lot of bass players, when I'm going over film over and over again, they look like they would rather be home watching an episode of, you know, of some sitcom. You're definitely in the music. You're in the presence. You're there. And again, one of the things that I like about you guys is you all really seem to be happy about being up there. You're not just playing songs for the sake of playing songs. You're sharing a part of yourselves with the audience, and that really comes across. And to me, that's not something that every band has. You know, you're not going through the motions, I guess is the best way to say it. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing all your own material, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do, and so you kind of, it has to be because you just really like to do it, you know. It's because it took a while to be able to, you know, we're lucky we get to play good venues and they allow us to play, you know, stuff that people never heard. We don't have to play covers it's certainly about just presenting our art to people. It's not really, you know, there's not much else, you know, that's important to us. And
you just said it right. It's your art. It's not just playing songs. It's your art. And that really is an important attitude to have. Well, look, guys, we're out of time, but I certainly have enjoyed this because I've gotten to know you a little better, and hopefully we will get to know each other better through the years, and you will definitely be seeing me at more of your shows because I think you guys are really one of the premier bands in the area. I truly mean that. You know, in all reality, you guys got it. Like I said before, you're there. Just keep doing what you do because there's a lot of people out there that love what you do.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
All right. That was Pale Barn Ghost, and that to me was kind of like a little starstruck. I really respect and enjoy their music, and I respect them as not only qualified and professional musicians, but they're really good folks too. So when you see Pale Barn Ghosts anywhere playing in the area, by all means, I recommend you head out and say hello, and just go enjoy yourself and listen to some great original music. It's they're a pleasure to watch. Well, that being said, let's see. The next show will be August 4th, and I'll be talking with my buddy Kenny P. Kenny P is used to be out of Cleveland, Ohio. He just moved to Nashville. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him and his lovely wife, Nicole, who I met at Launch Music Conference and Festival in Lancaster. So I'm looking forward to talking with them again. And he has an awesome CD that just came out with some great music. He's a wonderful singer-songwriter with a lot of heartfelt, serious, hardcore, kind of slaps you in the face kind of lyrics. So you'll enjoy it, I promise you. So that's August 4th, and that's at 7 p.m., 7 to 7.45, since we're doing 45-minute shows. So until then, I will talk to you later, and thanks for listening to Backstage Pass with Gettysburg Jerry.